the Lord from Psalm 33. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all humankind. From where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might it cannot save. Truly, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Continuing from the Gospel of Luke. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Psalms offer up quite an array of emotions and responses about God. Psalm 33 is a song of praise blossoming amid songs of lament, revealing why God deserves our utmost devotion. When I first read the lectionary, I felt drawn to this psalm, not because of any deep theology, but because I yearn for God to manage my expectations about our current social climate and economic reality. I was selectively reading verses and saying, yes, God observes all those deeds done by humans who disappoint and shock me. I was picturing God zooming above, a cosmic superhero with a laser-guided zapper, managing to transform those whose minds, words, and actions betray our call to love one another. So I started off on the wrong foot there. In reading any Bible passage, there's setting and context, and I was paying no attention to either one. I backtrack from the world in 2019 to the time frame of King David, although this particular song is tagged anonymous. Let's just say that it was written by a very astute composer to affirm the eternal extent of God's involvement with his people and to remind humans that our deliverance comes from the Lord. Throughout this entire psalm, the Lord is given magnificent praise as the God of, well, just about everything. In fact, absolutely everything. In any possible scenario, God reigns over the heaven and the earth, all nations and their inhabitants, each and every individual, and all those who fear him. And that covers everyone. Not a single exception. He's got you covered, whether you like it or not. And what's not to like? God commits to us in the same manner that he committed to his people Israel. No matter what happened in their lives, even when they turned their backs on him and purposefully disobeyed him, God never gave up on them or stopped loving them. He never stops loving us. He never stops being our source of hope. And hope is an essential component of life, even though it is not always present in our hearts and minds. It would be a rare person who has not felt their hope challenged in some way. Perhaps felt that there was nothing to give their lives meaning, security, or success. Our lives are not promised to flow along without challenge, disappointment, grief, and obstacles. While we often put great stock in our own ability to get ourselves out of predicaments, the psalmist reminds us of the utter futility of human effort to provide ultimate deliverance from trouble. As preacher James Mead says, the threefold great, the great army, the great strength, and the great might, rejects an exclusively human solution to the world's ills. It doesn't mean that we do nothing, for we are urged to fear, wait, trust, and hope in our relationship with God. In return for our fearing, waiting, trusting, and hoping, God offers us his steadfast love. This steadfast love, known in Hebrew writings as hesed, is God's long-term care plan for all his people. It is referenced twice in our passage, proclaiming that the eye of the Lord is upon those who hope in his steadfast love, and praying that the Lord's steadfast love be upon us, even as we hope in the Lord. Two theologians help us understand the concept of steadfast love. Lois Teverberg, writing in Walking in the Dust of Rabbi Jesus, offers great insight on hesed. She writes that Hebrew has a word for love that is richer and deeper than English has ever conceived of, hesed. Based in a covenantal relationship, it is a steadfast, rock-solid faithfulness that endures to eternity. Hesed is a love that is so enduring that it persists beyond any sin or betrayal to mend brokenness and graciously extend forgiveness. It intervenes on behalf of loved ones and comes to their rescue. It acts out of unswerving loyalty, even to the most undeserving. John Oswald writes about the magnanimous nature of God in terms of this steadfast love. The word hesed is the descriptor par excellence of God in the Old Testament. The word speaks of a completely undeserved kindness and generosity done by a person who is in a position of power. Hear that again, an undeserved kindness and generosity done by a person who is in a position of power. This was the Israelites' experience of God. He revealed himself to them when they were not looking for him, and he kept his covenant with them long after their persistent breaking of it had destroyed any reason for his continued keeping of it. Unlike humans, this deity was not fickle, undependable, self-serving, and grasping. Instead, he was faithful, true, upright, and generous, always. I wonder who could be aware of this love and even consider turning it down or turning away from it. It is so complete in its acceptance of our frailty. It is so comforting in the face of our various shortcomings. And it is so gracious in its boundlessness. It is an enduring blessing, always there for us. The knowledge of this steadfast love should make us feel quite content, especially when we acknowledge the extent to which God expanded his steadfast love beyond the nation Israel. That love took the form of Jesus, sent as our Lord and Savior to redeem us from our sins, and through our faith alone, receive the promise of God's kingdom. Through that action, God committed to giving us salvation. It is God's long-term care plan for all who believe in him. God patiently waits for our understanding and our acceptance. God waits for our faithfulness. And yet we still struggle because we misunderstand what God's role is in the cosmos. And we misunderstand our role too. We wonder why, if God is watching every deed of his inhabitants, what is taking him so long to act? As one commentary noted, we assure ourselves that God is watching. Ignorance is not the problem. We assure ourselves that God cares. Indifference is not the problem. We can't help but ask ourselves and God, what is taking so long? What is taking so long? I think that we want to boss God around and tell him when to act. We are hungry for justice and righteousness, and we want God, in his infinite awareness and discernment, to create a perfect world where there is universal acceptance of all people, unity and peace, and a universal will to always be a help and not a barrier, to create opportunity for all people. But hear this psalm again. Truly, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. It seems like this is telling us to pay attention to what we are doing. How is our hope in the Lord? Is it robust, offering a glad heart to the Lord for his steadfast love? Is our hope patient, waiting for the Lord, our hope in this otherwise treacherous world? Just like the blessing of Hesed, of steadfast love, God is also ready to offer us eternal life in the kingdom. The gospel passage from Luke speaks to our waiting and our readiness. Jesus reminds his listeners that it is God's good pleasure to give them the kingdom. And Jesus reminds his listeners that there is a plan for the waiting, because no one knows the unexpected hour when the Son of Man will come. And when that hour comes, we will want to be ready, to be alert and busy, doing what we know is right in the eyes of God. For God is paying attention to what we do, taking it all in. God has committed his eternal faithfulness, kindness, and generosity to us. What can we commit to God in return? He is watching over our waiting. If our waiting is filled with generosity, justice, and compassion, it will be the waiting that means that we are ready whenever the time comes. Thanks be to God for his steadfast love. Amen. Let us pray. As we take our worship, praise, and prayer from this place and into our daily lives, may our lives be sustained through the love of our Heavenly Father. May we feel the presence of our Savior walking beside us and know the power of the Spirit in both our actions and our words. Amen.